is recorded in John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the crowd, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Peace and grace to you from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The mother house of Sinsinawa Dominican Sisters Community sits on a hill in southwest Wisconsin. My old friend and my chaplain colleague at New York Methodist Hospital, Sister Kathleen, spent her novice years there. The retired sisters who live there now serve as spiritual mentors and teachers of life, as imitators of God, to all the people who come to their monastery for all sorts of spiritual and other retreats. Kathleen talked about Janet, who came to the monastery on that little hill as a very young woman. She was proud. She was energized by her calling to serve God, and she was hoping to live her vocation as a teacher. The community that she joined takes very seriously the vow of humility, and Janet was made a housekeeper. And while we all know, because we've all done it, housekeeping is an honorable and essential work, but it wasn't the life that Janet has had envisioned for herself. So for 50 years, Janet served her sisters as a devoted, creative, and very efficient housekeeper. And for 50 years, she simmered and seethed, angry as a wet skunk, as Kathleen described her. And then she retired. Janet had only one friend on the hill, another sister by the name of Helen. They spent most of their time together because no one wanted to be around Janet. Her anger was terrifying. They served as one another's confidants and confessors, and whatever civility Janet could manage kind of bore the imprint of Helen's love. Then Helen suffered a stroke, and she had to move off the hill into a nursing home, a nursing facility. And as the official driver for the sisters' community, young Kathleen took Janet to visit Helen every single day. And every single day proved a terror, she tells. Kathleen treated Janet with all the tenderness she could muster. And one day, as Kathleen was helping Janet out of the car, the older woman, sister, fell into her arms sobbing and said, I didn't know I would need to be held. Well, you do, Kathleen replied, and I believe you will need to be held again. So if it's okay with you, I'll come and I sit with you and Helen just for a bit every day. When Helen died, Janet asked my friend Sister Kathleen to be her escort down the aisle of the church on the day of the funeral and on the long walk to the cemetery. I don't think I can make it alone, she said. After everyone else had gone, Janet stood looking down at her friend's coffin, already lowered into the ground, to the grave, and Kathleen stood silently and overheard Janet's goodbye to her friend. After 50 years of humiliation, I have maybe finally learned what humility means. You would be proud of me, Helen. I didn't terrorize any of the novices today. I'm asking you, if you will, to take my anger to God with you as you go. I think I would like to be happy for just a little while. My friends, anger has enormous power. It has the potential to destroy love, to kill relationships, and just about squash every lovely thing. An ill-timed word or a malicious act can break even the strongest bond. We've all seen that happen. And when anger becomes a habit, sort of a way of life, our regular way of being and doing, life disappears, goes awry. Bitterness and wrath, wrangling, slander, malice, and grumbling interfere with everything. And that includes our spiritual life. Anger, I know, gets into our prayer, and it has an effectiveness of preventing us from approaching God with openness and in humility. Resentments absorb energy, and they can easily misdirect our attention and will lead us to attend to much lesser things. The crowd who was gathered around Jesus in today's gospel reading is a good example of that. I am the bread come down from heaven, he says, that you might have eternal life. And you know what happens? Did you see what happened? Did you listen? The crowd, in their resentment, completely misses it. Their resentment gets the best of them. And they say, we know you. We know who you are. We know where you come from. We know who your parents are. So, Jesus, what makes you so special? They were standing in the presence of God's gift of life and love, and they completely miss the invitation to live as God's children because of their resentment and envy. But today's reading from Ephesians gives us the other side. Paul's desire for life as God's beloved, good community is all that matters. He says, Paul, a life as a new creation in Christ is made possible for all of us in our baptism, a life as one body forever joined one to another, to be neighbors that we talked about. It is a life that is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it is rooted in a common ethic. And the marks of that life are kindness, tenderness, forgiveness, and love. But when anger and resentment fester, they invite the devil, Paul says, or demonic forces that make a mess of our life together. Do you remember what Paul calls that? Maybe you were listening when Sarah was reading. Paul calls that sin. And do you know what's interesting about this reading? Paul does not have any objection to the emotion of anger. You know, anger is perfectly normal and it is present in any community. Paul's concern is for how we manage that anger. Anger does not automatically lead to sin. He even says that anger can look like love when it is used to confront evil, oppression, injustice. You know, it's a powerful force. Anger can be put to good use and for a good purpose. He, Paul, offers us some direction for managing this powerfully strong emotion. It's like anger management, according to Apostle Paul. Let us all speak truth to our neighbors, he begins. That means not denying or repressing our anger. No, just getting it off our chest or letting it all out without thinking first and examining our part in things is not what he's talking about. Neither is he talking about being passive-aggressive. He says, speak the truth. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. You see, anger can be, and it can act as an invitation for energy, for action. God intends truthful anger for healing and unity and newness. Any inclination to use our anger to serve our self-interest or to soothe injured pride or support some personal peeve calls us to grow in humility and truth. Or else, Paul says, we grieve the Spirit of God. In 1985, Sarah Brady made an angry call to the offices of the National Rifle Association, NRA. Her husband, Jim, had been seriously disabled by gunfire as John Hinckley made an attempt to assassinate President Reagan. Mrs. Brady had learned that the NRA was supporting the repeal of the 1968 gun control law, and she decided to approach them. She called them and she said, "My name is Sarah Brady and you've never heard of me, but I am going to make it my life's ambition to put you all out of business." Sarah Brady was angry, but she was also a gracious woman. She was thoughtful and careful and she sought good counsel. And for as long as she lived, she never gave up that fight. Today, in our reading, we are offered an even deeper challenge. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving as God has forgiven you. Live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We read in Ephesians, expressing holy anger almost always requires forgiveness. To channel our anger in ways that imitate God, as Paul says, requires love and hope for the future. After the shooting at Mother Emmanuel Church in Charleston, South Carolina, the families of the victims were faced with the shooter, Dylan Roof, in the courtroom. And each one of the families were given an opportunity to speak, and each one of them spoke of forgiveness. Bethane Middleton, whose sister, her sister was a pastor in that church, the sister was killed, and she said, "For me, I am a work in progress, and I am very angry. But one thing my sister taught me was that we are the families that love built. We have no room for hate, so we have to forgive." And speaking directly to the young man, she continued, "I pray God's mercy on your soul, And I thank God that I will be around when your judgment day comes. May God bless you. Sometimes, my friends, it is only at the grave that we finally learn to live as imitators of God. But maybe it doesn't have to be that way. I wonder if there is something that all of us can learn from these stories that I told. The stories of the three sisters in Wisconsin, the story of Sarah Brady, the angry wife, and the broken-hearted families. Something about the healing power of anger. This I know. Anger, when confessed in love, opens the door to newness. And Jesus, the living bread come down from heaven, nourishes our hearts and lives towards a new loving purpose. And as followers of Jesus Christ, my friends, we strive to live our lives with grace, mercy, kindness, and grow in our capacity to forgive and to bless. And perhaps, even in our anger, feel happiness in it all, at least for a little while. May it be so. Amen.